go. Then I'm just, there's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump
Theater.
No one knows what up or down, black or white,
legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump
Theater.
So let's
pull the curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
Russia had nothing to do with this episode.
On Friday, Rudy Giuliani and one of Trump's other lawyers, Jay Sekulow, guest-hosted Sean Hannity's radio show and discussed the case. That's right. For some reason, Trump's legal team hosted a radio show.
The story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Donald
Trump
Theater.
Donald
Trump
Theater.
The documented drama of an actual crime investigated and solved by the men who unrelentingly stand watch on the security of your home, your family, and your life. For the next 30 minutes, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case from official police files, from beginning to end, from crime to punishment.
Donald
Trump
Theater.
The president of the United States is being represented in the Russia investigation by the Z-100 Zoo Crew. You're listening to Rudy and Jay Bird in the morning on WHUN, The Witch Hunt. The entire show was crazy. First, they repeated their claim that Mueller was trying to trap Trump into committing perjury, with Sekulow offering a truly ludicrous explanation for how such a trap might work.
We're going to make the right advice to our client. There will be no perjury trap. I've said that. You've said that on air. There's no perjury trap here. We're not going to allow it.
No. I mean, that's so obviously one of the things they're trying to do.
When
so,
you say a perjury trap, in other words, here's you've got one witness that says this is what happened. And then you got another witness that recalls, well, no, that's not how I recall it. It happened this way. And does then someone write up a report and say, well, we believe this one. We don't believe that one. Thus, it's perjury.
Okay, first of all, that's not how it works. They don't just interview two people. You're thinking of lawyers who are bad at their jobs, like you guys. I can't interview more than two people. Where am I going to find the time to host my radio show?
The president is back from vacation, and a look at his Twitter account leaves us with the distinct impression that someone's a little nervous, possibly feeling the walls closing in around him.
Trump spent the weekend engaging in his favorite rainy day activity, tweeting crazy things about the Russia probe. And apparently, Trump's legal team has convinced him that this strategy is working because now they're starting to claim that the investigation is actually going to backfire on special counsel Robert Mueller and his team, as Trump's lawyer Rudy Giuliani claimed last week.
I've never been involved in an investigation on either side that's more illegitimate than this one, that is so obviously more illegitimate. And I wonder, where's the sense of justice on the part of Mueller, on the part of the Justice Department? The real story here is not that this case isn't going to fizzle. It's going to blow up on them.
Trump's legal team is doing everything they can to put off an interview with Mueller. And in the process, they're basically admitting that Trump cannot be trusted to tell the truth, as Giuliani made clear last week when he accused Mueller of trying to trap Trump into committing perjury.
He knows the answers to every question that he wants to ask. He's going to ask him, did you tell Comey to go easy on Flynn? The president's going to say, no, I didn't. Hey, Bob, you know it. Well, why do you want to get him under oath? You think we're fools? You want to get him under oath because you want to trap him into perjury. Well, no. We're not going to let you do that.
If there was ever a trap tailor-made for Trump, it's a perjury trap. That or chicken under a box. Now, Mueller wants to interview Trump on two separate topics, collusion and obstruction of justice. Trump's lawyers have ruled out questions on obstruction because they claim Mueller already knows the answers. But in reality, they can't even seem to get their own story straight on what happened. Second, let's say they did only interview two people. One of those witnesses has contemporaneous memos to back up his story, and the other witness has lied about everything from his net worth to his inauguration crowds to whether or not he watches CNN.
You look at, like, a CNN, they'll have a council of seven people, and of the seven people, every one of them is against me. I'm saying, where do they even find these people?
I'm not your doctor, Mr. President, but I would recommend you watch less of them.
I don't watch them at all.
Did he just describe CNN and then moments later say he never watches CNN? Oh, that's a perjury trap.
Perjury trap.
Giuliani also seems very hazy about the actual details of the case, like whether Trump told then-FBI Director James Comey to drop his investigation of Trump's first national security advisor, Michael Flynn. Trump insists he never asked Comey to do that, but Giuliani says that even if he did, it's not a crime. On Sunday, Giuliani went on CNN to clarify and only made things worse by changing his story yet again and insisting that the conversation with Comey never happened at all.
I just want to be clear exactly what happened in that conversation with Comey about Michael Flynn. What exactly did President Trump say?
There was no conversation about Michael Flynn.
But, Mr. Mayor, you told ABC News last month that the president told Comey, quote, can you give him a break? Now you're saying that they never had...
I never told ABC that. That's crazy. I mean, I never said that.
So you're saying that President Trump and James Comey never discussed Michael Flynn?
That is what he will testify to if he's asked that question.
And you're also saying that a month ago you didn't tell ABC News that he said something along the lines of, can you give him a break?
No, I did not.
There you go. Rudy insists he never told ABC that Trump said give him a break.
I just want to play the sound so people understand why I asked the question.
Sure. Okay.
How is he a good witness for the president if he's saying that the president was asking him, directing him, in his words, to let the Michael Flynn investigation go?
He didn't direct him to do that. What he said to him was, can you give him a break?
Says can you give him a break? You said that.
You lied to Jake Tapper. And you know what they call that? A perjury tap.
Perjury tap.
While his lawyers struggled to get their story straight, Trump himself was attacking the legitimacy of the Russia investigation. On Saturday, he once again slammed his own attorney general, Jeff Sessions, for not intervening to shut down the Russia probe, tweeting, I've never seen anything so rigged in my life. Our AG is scared stiff and missing in action. The president and his White House are now mired in a feud with his former confidant, Omarosa Manigault Newman.
Omarosa versus the White House. The president's longtime friend and former employee. Omarosa goes scorched earth about her former boss and workplace.
Omarosa is now out with a new book. It's called Unhinged. It provides an inside look at both the Trump campaign and the White House.
Omarosa unveiling what she says are secret recordings she made inside the White House Situation Room when Chief of Staff John Kelly fired her.
Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
I'd like to see this be a friendly departure. There are pretty significant legal issues that we hope don't develop into something that will make it ugly for you, and then you can go on without any type of difficulty in the future relative to your reputation.
Can I ask you a couple of questions? Is the president aware of what's going on?
Don't, let's not go down the road. This is a non-negotiable discussion. So the staff and everyone on the staff works for me, not the president. And so after your departure, I'll inform him if he gets interested on where you may be.
Omarosa, what's going on? I just saw on the news that you're thinking about leaving. What happened?
General Kelly came to me and said that you guys wanted me to leave.
No, I nobody even told me about it. Nobody.
Wow.
You know, they run a big operation, but I didn't know it. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Damn it. I don't love you leaving at all.
You're fired. 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 You're fired.
You're the you're fired guy, and you're too scared to tell Omarosa she's fired? They fired you?
gosh darn it. Oh, oh, cheese and crackers. I don't love that you're leaving, but I do love cheese and crackers. What were we talking about? But he reacted differently this morning on Twitter and even debuted her official presidential nickname, Wacky Omarosa, who got fired 3 times on The Apprentice, now got fired for the last time. You do realize that means you hired her 4 times. While I know it's not presidential to take on a lowlife like Omarosa, and while I would rather not be doing so, this is a modern form of communication, and I know the fake news media will be working overtime to make even wacky Omarosa look legitimate as possible. Sorry. She never made it. Never will. She begged me for a job. Tears in her eyes. I said, okay. People in the White House hated her. She was vicious, but not smart. I would rarely see her, but heard dot, 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 really bad things, nasty to people, and would constantly miss meetings and work. When General Kelly came on board, he told me she was a loser and nothing but problems. I told him to try working it out, if possible, because she only said great things about me until she got fired. So, let me get this straight. Let me see if I can figure this out. So she's a loser who wouldn't show up to work, but you kept her on because she said nice things.
Now, Omarosa's book is full of sensational allegations. Here's just one example. Omarosa writes, and this is a real excerpt, that in early 2017, she walked Michael Cohen, then Trump's personal attorney, into the Oval Office for a meeting with Trump and allegedly saw the president chewing up a piece of paper while Cohen was leaving the office. I saw him put a note in his mouth. Since Trump was ever the germaphobe, I was shocked he appeared to be chewing and swallowing the paper. It must have been something very, very sensitive. I'm so torn on whether to believe this story. On the one hand, Omarosa has very little credibility because she spent years shilling for the world's most notorious liar, Donald Trump. On the other hand, if your favorite food is well-done steak, how far away is paper really? Also, I love that Trump was eating paper to hide things while everyone around him had microphones strapped to their chest. But then after that story came out, Cohen, who set up a secret shell company to silence women Trump had affairs with and is under investigation for tax fraud and soliciting bribes, and who also secretly taped Trump, came to Trump's defense tweeting to the many dozens of journalists who called me questioning Omarosa's claim in her new book that POTUS, real Donald Trump, took a note from me, put in his mouth, and ate it. I saw no such thing, and I'm shocked anyone would take this seriously. So now we have one liar who admits she lied in the past, claiming she's telling the truth now about the liar she worked for, and a third liar who's under investigation for lying, who taped the first liar to prove he wasn't lying, said the second liar is lying about the first liar.
The Washington Post reported that Omarosa was offered $15,000 a month by the Trump campaign to keep quiet after she was fired from her White House job, and that money added up to $180,000 a year, which, of course, was the top salary at the White House, which she was being paid.
White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders slamming Manigault Newman as a disgruntled former employee.
Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, "The book is filled with lies and false accusations."
She's built her reputation on being the villain.
A liar, a backstabber, and a self-promoter.
If anyone has less credibility than Donald Trump, it's actually probably Omarosa.
The reality is this is not a serious person.
Omarosa is of low character.
Omarosa has no credibility.
Yes. She's a liar and a backstabber with no credibility. Exactly like everyone else in the Trump administration. Yet another close advisor to President Trump has betrayed him. The White House is basically a reboot of The Last Supper, oops, all Judases. Now we know for certain why Trump didn't get a dog, because he knows the dog's just gonna write a tell-all, White House broken, my rough tenure as presidential pet. By Sparky. Sparky is the name of that dog, in case you're wondering. The latest person to turn on Trump is Omarosa Manigault Newman. Omarosa has written a salacious new book filled with shocking details that you already knew. And today on where? On today. Today on today,
She explained the subtle meaning behind the book's title.
The book is called Unhinged. Who does that refer to?
Oh, Donald J. Trump, absolutely.
Her most shocking allegation is that she had heard a tape of The Celebrity Apprentice where Donald Trump used the N-word.
Did you hear the tape? Or did you hear a description of the tape?
After I closed the book, I had an opportunity to go out in Los Angeles and sit down with the person who actually has a copy of the tape. And I heard his voice as clear as you and I are sitting
you
here.
You have heard the tape?
I have heard the
tape. Since publication of this book?
Absolutely. It confirmed that he is truly a racist.
President Trump says former White House aide Omarosa Manigault Newman lied when she called him a racist who was heard using the N-word on tape.
In a late-night tweet, the president writing, the show's creator Mark Burnett just called to say there are no tapes of The Apprentice where I use such a terrible and disgusting word. I don't have that word in my vocabulary and never have.
Now, I know what you're thinking. It's weird for Trump to say he's never said the N-word. And also say Mark Burnett called him to reassure him that there's no tape of him saying the N-word. It's not a call you need to get if you've never said the word. Like, what other things has Mark Burnett called Trump to tell him he didn't do? He's like, Mark Burnett called me last night to tell me I didn't do 9/11, folks. So suck it, Bin Laden. So today, it fell to White House spokesperson Sarah Huckabee Sanders to assure the public that President Trump has never said the N-word on tape. And considering that Sarah Sanders will usually lie about anything to cover for her boss, her answer was surprisingly shifty.
Can you stand at the podium and guarantee the American people they'll never hear Donald Trump utter the N-word on a recording in any context?
I can't guarantee anything, but I can tell you that the president addressed this question directly. I can tell you that I've never heard it.
Just to be clear, you can't guarantee it.
Look, I haven't been in every single room.
She makes it sound like every time she leaves the room, then Trump says it, then she has to run back. Are you saying that word?
This is huge, Sean. Finally.
Big move. We didn't know.
Finally, we didn't know. Finally, we have proof.
We didn't know.
That the guy who refused to rent to black tenants said that a Nazi Klan rally had some fine people and called Africa a shithole is a racist. That is... Tear up your history books. You rewrite the history books.
I had no idea.
He is truly a racist.
He is a racist through and through.
Racists!
1 year after Charlottesville, look at these numbers. 49%, half of Americans believe their president is a racist. Just every time I look at those numbers, it just stuns me.
Yeah, because it is stunning. Because it is both shocking that it's 49%, and it is equally shocking that it's only 49%. Because it's not like he's been hiding it. It has been his brand for decades now. Now, today's demonstration is just the culmination of a week in which America's regular dog whistle racism became uncomfortably loud. And perhaps there is no better example of this than Fox News host Laura Ingraham, who caused a real stir with this.
In some parts of the country, it does seem like the America that we know and love doesn't exist anymore. Massive demographic changes have been foisted upon the American people. And they're changes that none of us ever voted for and most of us don't like. Much of this is related to both illegal and, in some cases, legal immigration that, of course, progressives love.
Wow. She just came right out and said it in a scripted commentary straight down the camera, knowing her mic was on. No economic anxiety, no some of them are good people, just I don't want people who don't look like this here. And while Ingraham later tried to say that her remarks had nothing to do with race, it is worth noting that no less an authority than David Duke, former Grand Wizard of the Klan, called it one of the most important truthful monologues in the history of the mainstream media. And when the former head of the Klan likes what you're doing, that should give you real pause.
The brown Trump, right? Although that would be funny. Like if Trump just woke up and was brown, that would... I think that would be a great movie. It would just be him building a wall to protect us from himself. He'd just be like, we've got to build a wall because I'm coming.
People
People are starting to take my declaration that we will build a wall literally, so I need a progress update.
The budget office says the only way to completely fund the wall would be to sell Wisconsin to Qatar.
That thing will get built the day my terrible wife wins an Oscar.
The day Tyler Perry casts me as the love interest and Madea's got a boyfriend.
Sarah?
I'm not physically able to express an opinion that is not also your opinion, so here's a noise instead. Marm.
And I should tell my supporters it ain't happening. I'm sure they'll be chill about it. After all, I'm chill, and Jill recognizes Jill.
Build the wall! Build the wall!
We can't do a wall right now. We spent a lot of money on baby cages, and a wall would just keep us from getting enough babies to fill them up.
We still want the wall.
President Trump's bewildering speech tonight was clearly a deep state-funded hologram. Here to reassure us that everything is fine between him and the wall is Donald the Trump.
There's my guy. Listen, sweetie, it's over between me and the wall.
No! No, 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 no!
I'm a real estate mogul. I don't know how to build walls.
You weren't even trying! You disgust me! Get off my show! I hate you! Wait, I don't mean that. I love you. No! Leave me alone!
Sean,
Somebody get me Gorka!
So now that he's bogged down in a ridiculous feud with an aide who's as good as he is at orchestrating a reality show spectacle, Trump is suddenly slamming the credibility of a person who was once one of his closest confidants and supporters. You know what made Omarosa look legitimate? Putting her in the White House. You can't hire people to work in the most powerful office in the world, paid by taxpayers, and then when they turn on you, say, that person's a crazy liar and no one should trust them. I can't wait until Trump's forced to resign and President Mike Pence tweets, please ignore this disgruntled employee. He has no credibility.
You did say to Chris Matthews that you have more tapes that Robert Mueller could be interested in. He might want to call you again. What sort of tapes would he be interested in?
You know, if he calls me, I certainly will participate with anything that he needs. I'll provide him with what he needs, but that's the extent that I can talk about.
But you said he's interested. That's dangling something. Can you give us a little bit more? That's information.
I would just say this, that there's a lot of corruption that went on both in the campaign and in the White House, and I'm going to blow the whistle on all of it.
You say corruption, but do you mean coordination? Anything that Robert Mueller would be interested in, whether Donald Trump was coordinating with Russia or he knew about the emails during the campaign, that sort of thing?
I think that he should come clean with the American people. I think that he should be honest about what he did during the campaign and what he continued to do in the White House.
You were instructed, according to your book, to bring up the emails at every point you could at the end of the 2016
that's
campaign.
Correct.
Hillary Clinton's emails.
Yes, that was our talker.
Did Donald Trump know about those emails before they came out?
Absolutely.
He knew about them?
Yes.
He knew what was coming out before WikiLeaks
yes.
released them? You're saying Donald Trump had a back channel.
I didn't say that. You did, but I will say that
how did you
I am
know
going
about
to
him,
expose
then?
The corruption that went on in the campaign and in the White House. I would ask a lot of questions. I would ask him why during this weekend, the anniversary of Charlottesville, he sent such a small tweet, but he spent all day tweeting about me. He could have condemned in a much stronger term and a clearer term that he is not a racist, but he squandered that opportunity. I think that there are a lot of things that the president should come clean about.
The president called you a dog this morning. What's your reaction?
I think that it just shows you that if he would say that publicly, what else would he say about me privately? He has absolutely no respect for women, for African Americans, as evidenced by him instructing the chief of staff to lock me for 2 hours in the Situation Room to harass me, to threaten me and say that things could get very ugly for me and that there would be damage to my reputation.
He is
unfit to be in this office and to serve as the president of the United
States. Let's put up the tweet that he sent out. When you give a crazed, crying lowlife a break and give her a job at the White House, I guess it just didn't work out. Good work by General Kelly for quickly firing that dog. We've noted that he's used a derogatory language about women a number of times in the past, especially on Twitter. Dog. Women and minorities, dog, dumb, dumbest man on television. He said that the other day. Low IQ, blood coming out of her wherever, neurotic, ingrates, Miss Piggy, son of a B-word, fat, ugly slob. This is on Twitter and in interviews. When you were in the White House, did you see him treat women in a derogatory way?
You've called women you don't like fat pigs, dogs, slobs, and disgusting animals. Your Twitter account
only
has
Rosie
several.
O'Donnell.
One of the worst things he said was about a woman in a beauty contest. He loves beauty contests, supporting them and hanging around them. And he called this woman Miss Piggy. Then he called her Miss Housekeeping because she was Latina.
You know, you could see there was blood coming out of her eyes, blood coming out of her wherever.
Yes, she is a low IQ individual, Maxine Waters. I said it the other day. Honestly, she's somewhere in the mid-60s, I believe that.
You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. You just kiss. I don't even wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the I can do anything.
You once told a contestant on Celebrity Apprentice it would be a pretty picture to see her on her knees.
I think the big problem this country has is being politically correct.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, how are you?
How are you? Well, congratulations on everything. We're proud of you. Congratulations. Oh. Great job. You went through a tough, tough situation, and I don't think a very fair situation.
That there was actually a prank call. A comedian, John Melendez, also known to fans of Howard Stern as Stuttering John, says he pretended to be Democratic Senator Bob Menendez, and he called the White House and eventually got to speak with President Trump on Air Force One.
For the song this week from
Dragnet,
The Clash,
Golden Earring,
and thanks to
Sarah Sanders, Seth Myers,
Jay
Sekulo, Rudy Giuliani, Nicole Wallace, Brian Kilmeade, Jake Tapper,
George
Stephanopoulos, Alex Witt, Savannah Guthrie, James Cummy, Kelly Omarosa, Manago
Newman,
Stephen Colbert, Chuck Todd, Kristen Welker, Dickerson, Trevor Noah, Oliver Laura Ingraham,
our
cartoon
president
Katie Ter
Majin,
Kelly Hillary Clinton, Billy Bush,
Stuttering.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.